Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to start off by singing number 23 in the hymn book, please. Could someone start it? Thoughts about the topic of the will of God and how to find, or how are some ways I believe in Scripture that we can find the will of God. And for those of us that have in our Christian life walked with the Lord a bit, we look in the past where He's led us, and as the verse says, we'll praise Him for all that is past and realize that we can trust Him for the future, for what is to come in our lives, following His will. So let's just ask the Lord for His help before we start. Thank you, Lord, for this chance we had this morning to remember you and your death. Thank you for coming all the way in obedience to your Father's will, for being submitted to Him in total obedience. Thank you for this example that we have, and that we can come by faith. You are our mediator. You are the one that we can come to with our petitions. We pray that as we speak this afternoon, that what is said could bring glory and honor to you and to your Father. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is a question that I think all of us have asked or are in the process of asking at different points in our life. How to find the will of God? Is this the will of God for me to do this, to do that, to go here, to do this, to take this job, to go to this place, to marry this person, to not marry this person? These are questions we have, right? And I think if you're like me, there's been times when you really feel crunch time. You're like, I got to make a decision and I don't quite know what to do. And with the Lord's help, there's a few topics, a few things in the topic of the will of God I'd like to go over in a half an hour or so, or less, hopefully. Just go over briefly and just to get answers from the Word of God and things that have helped me in my life to find the will of God. So let's just start in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so here we have a direct command, or a direct command from the Word of God, that we should understand what the will of the Lord is. So that still doesn't tell us what it is, right? We're told that we have to find it, but it doesn't mean we know how. It's like in school, you're told to solve a problem, you don't always quite know the equation, what formula to use. So hopefully we can look at a few different formulas that we can, in the Word of God, that can help us find what the will of God is for our life. Now, maybe you've been talking to a friend, and the person says, well, I feel the Lord leading me to do this. Or, God is speaking me to do this. Or, the Spirit is pulling me to do this. Or, God told me this or that. Now, it's very subjective, right? If the Lord told you that, then how can I really kind of contradict you on that? Ever felt that way? Someone says, or even we talked about in terms of word of worship, someone says, well, the Spirit showed me this. And sometimes you're like, well, can I actually say, no, the Spirit didn't lead you? Like, how it gets a bit delicate, right? But as we pointed out in the previous meeting, it's important to base whatever decision we do, whatever thought pattern we have, on the Word of God, and have that be our basis. Now, how to answer it? Well, one of the things in my life, I remember that when it came time to make a career decision a few years back, and maybe back when I was 18, I remember kind of considering going to college or landscaping college, you know, I was really kind of getting into a crunch time. And then someone told me this saying. They said, you know, you see, don't expect full-time results if you're only a part-time Christian. Pretty good, you know. I want the benefits of walking with the Lord without the commitment to actually doing it in my everyday life. And that spoke to me. And throughout continuing to learn, the Lord is hopefully getting more and more of my heart to be a full-time Christian, to want to make His will my will. Because I think sometimes, if we're honest, there's times in our lives that we want to keep certain areas of our life to ourselves and not necessarily let the Lord be the Lord of everything in our life. And so if we want to have His will, we have to be willing to acknowledge His Lordship in all areas of our life. If we start holding back certain things, certain areas, maybe this relationship or this friendship or this TV series I'm watching that I really don't want to let go, or this bad habit I'm not willing to let go, we are kind of compromising the will of the Lord to be shown out in our life. Now, the Lord is gracious. There's times when I've been going on things that maybe I knew were wrong, and the Lord still gave me a sign or still showed me things. But there's no guarantee. And if we really want God's, the Lord's will in our life, we have to be willing to obey, and to obey in the small details as well as the big. Let's turn. It's not necessarily how much you know. It's not necessarily how much knowledge you acquire with the Word of God that's going to help you find the will of God in your life. It's what you're willing to walk in. Let's look in the book of Psalms for a few verses on the topic of how the Word of God has to be our direct line. Let's turn to Psalm 119. And if you take the time one day, you can underline, maybe you already have, you can underline every time it says commandments, testimonies, law, precepts, statutes, judgment, word in the book of Psalm 119. It's the longest book of the Psalm in the Bible. And you really see so many places where almost every verse speaks about the law or the Word of God being important. This is something that we need to take to heart. Let's read verse 165 of Psalm 119. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If I really desire to do the will of God in my life, when I read something from the Word that maybe contradicts the way I live, I should have a desire, if I really love the Lord, to say, well, if the Word of God contradicts with how I'm living, I'm going to side with the Word of God against what I want to do. Let's go up back to verse 105, Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And verse 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. It gives light. In our lives, we want to be directed by the Lord. We believe everyone in this room wants to have the will of God for their life. They want to be directed by the Lord. But are we willing to let the Word of God be our standard by which we lead our life, whereby we are directed in our life? You know, I would like to just turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, the parable of the house on the rock. And let's read verses 46 and 47 and 48. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I said? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon that rock. So then there is important to not only hear what the Word of God said. This weekend, we heard a lot of things from the Word. Are we willing to not only hear, but are we also willing to put them into practice? And this is a basis. If you want the will of God, if we hear something, the Lord tells you something, are you willing to put that in practice? There's an illustration I was given once. It actually may have been in a Bruce Hankton pamphlet, I'm not sure. but whenever you're driving a car at night, your headlights don't show you all the way home. They show you 100 yards ahead, and every time you curve, you see a new patch of road, and you keep going all the way home. You don't see all the way home. And the will of God is a bit like that way. You don't necessarily see your whole life's plan ahead of you. You see the now. You see the today. And so I want to encourage you all today, from what you see in the Word of God, walk in truth. Walk in what you know to be true today of the Word of God. I'll give a few examples. It says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. So if you're you have a job today, if you want to do the will, and you're praying about the future, if your job today is to, for me, was to cut lawns when I was 18, I said, well, the Lord wants me to cut lawns, so I'm going to cut lawns the best of my ability. I'm going to do the very best I can do. If I work at McDonald's, I'm going to make the best coffee I can make. I'm going to make the best burgers I can make. If I'm working in another store, I'm going to do the very best I can do, because it says to walk, to whatever your hand finds, to do with all your might. So if I'm faithful in the small things, the Lord might give me a bit more. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. So whatever I'm doing, am I walking in truth? Am I doing what I'm doing for the glory of God? That's the way to walk. That's the way to be walking in the will of God for your life, is to walking in what you know to be true. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And so if I'm to walk in the will of God, I have to forsake all known sin. If I am walking in a way that I know is displeasing to the Lord, I should forsake that. And the will of God is for me not to do that. And there's a saying with the new millennials that we have these days, the coffee shop Christians. A lot of Christians that are willing just waiting around coffee shops, waiting to do the will of the Lord. It's a saying that we have out, and people say, well, I'm just waiting, what should I do? Like, the Lord, I want to serve God, I want to do something for Him, but I'm just waiting for Him to show me. But these are things that we can take positive action to do something for the will of God, not just necessarily wait until it falls on you, because I don't usually think it, unless you have experience, the will of God doesn't just fall on you. It's discerned. The will of God is not found. It is discerned. We discern the will of God through various ways that we're going to go through this afternoon and take a look. And so, forsaking known sin. Is there something in your life that you're going on with that you know is wrong? Is there maybe, let's say, a relationship that you're in that you know is an unequal yoke? Is there maybe a friendship or a bad habit you develop that you know is wrong and that you continue in it? If you continue in that, you are hindering the will of God. You're hindering the Spirit of God to work in your life. And that can affect, if you'll be able to hear that still small voice that the Lord wants you to hear. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15 says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and unto all men. Are you following that which is good? Are you taking positive steps in your life to follow after and with those that honor the Lord, that want to do which is right? Or are you choosing to, as Caleb said yesterday, apathy? I don't care. I don't necessarily care what I do. It's not really revolving around anything else. I can do what I want. It doesn't matter. That's not true. It's a verse that says, no man lives, no man dies to himself. The way I act will affect my brethren, will affect my local assembly. Another way we can be obedient is through baptism. Romans 6 talks about, and Galatians 3 talks about, about how we are identified with Christ. My question to you today is, are you baptized? Have you identified yourself with the Lord Jesus? That isn't something He's asked us to do. Have you identified through that positive obedience as we talked about? Another verse in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So are you meeting with your local believers? Are you coming to the weeknight meetings? Are you involved in the life of the assembly? Are you a part of that group? Or are you just when someone shows up on Sunday morning, does your time, leave as soon as you can? Are you a part of the group? Are you helping to build up the assembly? This is something that you can positively do while looking for the will of God in your life. In Mark chapter 16, we have another point. He said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you exercised about the gospel? Have you thought about maybe preaching to your coworkers? Have you considered if the Lord wants you to share the gospel to your neighbor, to your person at work? You know, these days the world has come to us. My neighbors like all around me, one's a Hindu, one's a French-Canadian, one's a Portuguese lady, other two different countries in Africa, and there's another Iranian lady down the street. I have a mosque nearby and a Jehovah's Witness building nearby as well. So I have a lot of multicultural people around me. This is the world. The world itself has only come to you. You have people in your area, in your schools, from different nationalities, from different places. We can all be exercised of how we can reach out to these people through different ways. And that is something that we can all positively do, share the gospel with those around us while we're looking for the will of God. Now, I don't want to make this sound like if you do A, B, C, D, E, all of a sudden the will of God will appear. I'm just saying while you're living your life, these are everyday things that we can do in order to live in obedience, live in something that is positive truth, found in Scripture for us to do, positive obedience, that is. And now, let's look also back to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5 again. verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you thankful? Do you consider it, are you thankful for the things the Lord gives you? You know, I've been blessed to be able to travel around the world and a few times in India and Africa, and you see so many believers with a lot less that I feel sometimes they're so much more thankful than us. Thankfulness should not be dependent on our circumstances. It should be dependent on how we appreciate what the Lord has done for us. And so are we thankful? And in the measure that we are thankful, it will influence how we live our lives. We think of how what the Lord Jesus did for us. He asked us to remember him in his death. He asked us to come on the first day of the week and to give thanks for what he did for us on the cross. He didn't force us to. He's not going to force you to break bread. But it's his desire that he had that you would thank him for what he did for you. And my challenge to you is, are you living in that positive obedience? He's asked you to do it. Are you willing to do it? If the Lord has asked us something really, really hard, would we be willing to do it? He's asked us a simple request, this do. In remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So that is positive obedience, to obey the Lord in that way. He's asked us to remember him. And ultimately, he's the one that is worthy. We're told to examine ourselves and to eat. He's not going to hold it over us necessarily if we don't, but it does bring joy to his heart to know that we desire to remember him for what he did for us. I'm going to read also in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And I, maybe there are other explanations or applications for this verse, but I've taken it in my life to apply line upon line, precept upon precept. We learn the truth of the Word of God. If the Lord shows you something in your life that you have to examine, that you have to apply to your life, apply that lesson, and he'll show you something greater. If the Lord shows you something that you're doing that is wrong, that is a bit of tweaking, apply that to your life. Change the way, and he'll show you something else. We don't learn the truth of God. You can't just read, you know, every ministry book at BTP and say, okay, I know the will of God for my life. I know all the truth of God. We learn through the conscience. If I have a bad conscience, if I'm going on with something that is wrong, maybe something of this list that we mentioned, if you're going on something that you know is wrong, it will be almost like the lights turned out. You can't connect. I know in my life there's been times that I've sat in conferences and heard meetings and say, I don't really agree with it. I just don't see it. Ever felt that way? I don't see it. And then there was times when I know that there were things in my life that I hadn't taken care of. When I took care of those things, I'm not trying to be superstitious, but it's like if the light turned back on. I was like, it's so clear now. Why didn't I see it before? Because I believe that I was not willing to walk in obedience in certain aspects, and the Lord will not show us more. The Lord is not out to make us into, you know, high IQ people about the Word of God. It's not his goal to make you like the smartest person about the Bible. He wants you to walk in the truth that you know. And I know there's a lot of Christians probably that are walking in the truth of God that they know that are more faithful to the Lord than even me and in things that I know. And that's an exercise for each one of us. Are we walking in the truth that we know, in the will of God, in that area? Mr. Harry Hayhoe said a quote one day. He said, I read this in a book, but I didn't actually hear it. He said, every failure of saint and sinner alike comes from disbelief in the heart of God. Now, what does that mean in very simple words? It means that whenever the Lord shows me something, whether it be a decision or a way to lead me, if I disagree and I don't want to do it, ultimately I'm telling God, I know better than you. I think that God, maybe something that you're going to allow me or something that you're going to give is not as good. I had a friend that I spoke to last year. He had a few disappointments with girls. He had a couple of relationships that didn't go that well, and he decided that, you know, I found this girl that goes to my school that's not a believer, and I'm just going to date her. You know, ultimately she'll come to the Lord. And we talked about it, and he kept having these arguments, trying to contradict verses that I gave him about it. And he said, ultimately, you know what it is? He's like, I'll be honest with you. He's like, I don't believe God has my best intentions. I don't believe that God actually cares about my life. That's why I'm just going to lead my life the way I want to lead it. And it's very sad. Our failures is, if you think of how the Lord did so much for us, and we were going through some of those verses yesterday with Josh during the courtroom case, and how that the Lord has such a plan for our lives, such a, from past eternity to now, and how he has a plan for the church, as we discussed today with Mr. Stewart. He is so interested in our life, but ultimately, sometimes we don't believe it, or we act like we don't believe it. We say, well, you know, I know that you have all these things, Lord, but I just want to do what I want to do. And that is where we have to put ourselves out and say, you know what, we're wrong. Take our sides against us. Take sides against us and say, God is right and every man a liar. And that is hard, right? Because sometimes we think, you know what, maybe you're sitting in this room and you're looking for work. And you're like, when is God going to show up with this job? Or maybe you're going through a health concern. Maybe you're single and you wish you were married. You say, why doesn't God show up here? You say, well, it's easy for me to say I'm married. But I remember a few years back having some of those similar thoughts, saying, when is God going to show up in my life? And I was encouraged by friends and people to say, you know, E.T., walk in what is true. Walk in what you know to be true to the Word of God, and he will give you light for the future. Ultimately, we have to remember that God is good. And there's a verse in Romans 8 that says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? It's realizing that the heart of the God is great. His desire is to bless us. And he knows exactly in his timing what is best for us. And so we do best to wait on his will, to wait and try to know his will through waiting on him and through walking in obedience. You see, think how that God has so much love for his son, and how much the son is looking forward to being with his bride, how much desire that the Lord Jesus has for his bride, how he's interested in us, the church. We don't really deserve it, but just look how much love he has for us. He wants our best. He's not just some, you know, some evil uncle holding a candy over, you know, a little kid that can't reach it. He really wants our blessing. He's not an austere man. He really wants us to be happy. But then, we have to realize that in John, well, a principle in John 17, John chapter 7. You know, we talked this afternoon about the ground of gathering. And in my experience in the last 15 years of being at Young People's, I know it's a very hot topic. It's a topic where there's been a lot of disagreement. Maybe you know, we all know someone that disagreed with us or has left the meeting or has bad feelings about it or is unsure about it. And I just want to exhort you all here, and myself included, about a verse in John 17. When it comes to the Word of God, we know we all have very good friends that maybe disagree with us. They go to other churches that we love dearly, but we don't see eye to eye on it. And how would the will of God be that we'd be all in different places? I don't believe so, but I believe the key is here in verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And I don't mean exclusively the topic of the ground of gathering, but since we're on that topic this afternoon, ultimately the Lord wants to know Am I willing to do His will, regardless of if it contradicts with mine? And that's a hard thing to do, because we all bring our preconceived notions. We all bring our ideas about how things should be done to the table. But as we discussed this weekend, I believe it's one thing if we can all leave with this weekend, that ultimately what we believe in has to be founded not on what I feel, but on the Word of God. Because if not, I can go anywhere. I can be like a ship without a rudder. I don't have any direction. I need to be solidly founded in the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Scriptures. And that is the way that I will be guided. So ultimately, it's not if any man will know the doctrine, he will know his will. We kind of think that, right? We think, well, in our minds, if I study up on a topic for school, I'll get a good grade, right? If I study up on the topic and I apply myself, I'll get a good grade at the end. But with the things of God, it's a little different. Like we said before, it's not a question of the intellect, it's a question of the conscience. If my will is at work, and I don't necessarily want the truth of God, I am not going to necessarily be able to see the light for the pathway. So the first principle is this: if any man will do my will, if my desire is to do the will of God, no matter the cost, his heart is just to show me, and to show me more and more of himself, the more I choose to walk in direct obedience. Remember that the Spirit of God leads us together. The Spirit of God and the Word of God are like two railroad tracks. They always go together. If someone says, the Spirit of God led me here, and I say, well, the Spirit of God led me here, we have to realize the Word of God is the one that is the discernment. As the verse that Jonathan shared, the Word of God is, actually, let's just read it. In the Hebrews chapter 3, I think it is. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This afternoon, I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what your experience has been with any of these topics, but I know that the Word of God is enough to guide us through the Lord's return. I mean, that be something that we realize that in seeking to have the will of God in our life, have the Word of God be before us. And there's actually four principles I'd like to kind of go over in practical terms to find the Word of God. To find the will of God for my life. And these actually are, I'll be honest, they're not mine. I've been enjoying them for the last couple of weeks in Bruce Sainsey's pamphlet, How to Find the Will of God for Your Life. If you'd like to read that pamphlet, I strongly recommend it. It takes about half an hour to read if you're a quick reader. It's a great evening read, meditation. And it's he actually has four different points he mentions, to find the Lord's will for your life. He says, first of all, do you have a sense of the Lord's presence in what you're doing? And he refers back to Exodus 33, where Moses says, if thy presence go not before us, lead us not up hence. And my question is, would you have peace in what you're doing? Let's say you have a question. Let's say you have a job that you're looking to take. Do you have peace in your heart? Just leave all the other things aside. Do you have peace in your heart that this is something that the Lord would have you to do? Now, that's not the only thing, but it's something that you can see. Do you have the peace of God, which says in Colossians 3, the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your heart in mind. Do you have that in your heart? Do you feel that peace in your heart? The second point would be the principles. Are there principles in the Word of God to dictate if you should or shouldn't do it? For example, if let's say you're taking a job up in the middle of nowhere, a northern... Let's say, well, there's a lot of assemblies here in New York, but let's say you're in Quebec and you're in northern Quebec where there's no assemblies. There's no Christian fellowship there. Would you feel, would the Lord have you to take a job where you're not going to be around other Christians, where you're not going to be with other believers? That's something to consider as well. Not the only answer, but to consider as well. The principles in the Word of God. When it comes to, for example, who to marry. Would the Lord have you marry a non-believer? Right away, you have positive obedience, a positive truth that says you cannot marry a non-believer. Now, what about if the person is a believer? Was the verse in Amos chapter 3, in verse 3, can two walk together unless they agree? And that's something that I would challenge you young men here as you seek to find a partner, and youngsters as well, find someone who enjoys the Lord's things with you in the same way. Someone who values being gathered to the Lord's name, values the truth of the Word of God. I'm very happy to say, Lord, led me to a wife that we're unified in this. We have our problems with this stuff that we have to work on, but we both appreciate and value being gathered to the Lord's name. That's important for us. Not just the fact that we say, well, we're at the one place, but something that we want to be a part of our assembly and build up the things that remain. And this is something I hope for every one of you, that the Lord leads you to a partner. And even if you are married to someone and the person disagrees, to come together and say, Lord, what would you have us to do as a couple? Because ultimately, there's other people around you that are looking how you live. Now, and the third point would be providence or circumstances. You know, think about when Abraham's servant went down to find a wife for Isaac, was it? Yeah, for Isaac. He says, I being in the way the Lord led me. There's no verse to say, how am I going to find this woman? He's just there. He says, Lord, if it's someone that can be there to be a help to me and my camel, let her be the one. And the Lord allows it. It's providence. I don't want to say luck, because I don't think there's anything of luck, but there is providence. And maybe it's, you know, you were praying about a job and someone tells you about a job, or you're looking at for a school and an opportunity comes. These are things, and the Lord can also use this providence from Him to kind of lead us in the right way. Now, another little, in conclusion, there's another fourth point Mr. Ainsley brings out. He says there's prophets in your life that can speak into your life. And if you look in the book of Proverbs, there's a lot about the importance of godly counsel. And so, are we willing to listen to counsel? When it comes to the will of God, I believe sometimes the Lord allows us to have people in our lives, godly Christians, brothers and sisters, that can speak into our life and give us godly counsel. Let's turn to Proverbs 11 and verse 4. Sorry, 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitudes of counselors, there is safety. And in Proverbs 12, verse 5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. So be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you get your advice from. Are you getting advice from people that are solid in the Word of God, that you respect spiritually? Are you getting advice from people that are known to be of godly character, that will lead you in the right way? These are ways that we can find the Lord can, I believe, has used the fact that we're one body in Christ, that we have brothers and sisters around us that can help us, to help us discern the will of God. Once again, the will of God is not necessarily found, it's discerned. We discern the will of God through the will of us. We discern the will of God through using the Word of God, through having communion personally with the Lord, through circumstances, or sometimes through people that can help us. These are a couple of thoughts I had on the will of God. As you look at the topic, if you even do a word search of the will of God in Scripture, there's so many different topics. And we can go down many different avenues. But for today, it was a challenge for me when Josh asked me to speak this afternoon. Yesterday afternoon, he asked me to present something that would be practical but yet applicable with the topic we had. Because this weekend, we heard a lot of truth. We heard a lot of things that are applicable for a Christian life. But the question is, are we going to walk in them? Are we going to choose to make these things our own? Are we choose to apply them into our life and helping us discern what the will of God is? You know, whenever Saul of Tarsus was converted, the first thing he said was, Who art thou, Lord? He acknowledged the Lordship of Christ. And the second point was, What wilt thou have me to do? And if those are our thoughts that we have in our life, if we say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Ultimately, is it you that is leading me? Or am I led by emotions? Am I led by what I want to do? I'll be disappointed. But if those that follow the Lord will never be disappointed. And so, just remember that God is for us. He really wants our blessing. He doesn't want to shortchange us or give us half measures. He really wants to give us the very best. But are we willing to trust Him? Are we willing to be led by Him through His Word and through His Spirit? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the time we had this afternoon to open Your Word, and I realize that these could just be words that are said, if not by Your Spirit, which can give them life. We pray that what could be said could be a profit to those here. We pray for those that have left already, that are on the way home, for safety on the road for them. We pray that we may have all learned something this weekend that would draw us closer to You, Lord Jesus. We pray for the strength and the courage to walk in truth, to walk in things that we know to be true, and to apply these things to our life. Give us not to be compromised, not to give the devil even an inch in our life, but to take firm resolve to live our lives purposefully and on purpose for You. We ask for strength for those of us who are driving home that might get back a bit later, and thank You again for the local here in Vestal that really did a great job in hosting us. Pray for blessing on their assembly here, that they all might be drawn to you, drawn to each other. We ask for all these things. In the worthy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.